Second down and 10 from the 51 of UBC. Here's Pickton looking right, throwing underneath. That pass is caught by Stusik. Nice grab to the 33-yard line. So he drops one, and this has been a redemption drive. First Borsa, now Stusik. Nice two-handed catch.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in his province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
And welcome to another Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Mark Greshner Photography, Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan, Riviera Ag Seeds in Radville, Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina, SAS Selects Football, Double Z Ag Sales out in Weyburn, and Boys Next Door Window Cleaning. Recently, I caught up with one of the designers of a new football helmet that's being considered by the NFL. And you know, if the NFL approves it, all levels of football will look at it. And we're speaking now. I am not a bilingual guy, Eric, so hopefully I don't butcher this here. Eric Wagnak.
Wagnak, yes, you're good.
Because if I'm an English guy, I'm going to call you Wagnak, and I know that's not the way to do it. Wagnak. I'll try to do the best I can. Anyway, Eric is here. He's with ETS. Now, you're on the academic side of this venture between Collide and ETS to help bring safer, better, technologically advanced football helmets to the world of football, more specifically the National Football League. Tell us about that, Eric.
Yeah, in fact, we're participating to a contest which is called the NFL Helmet Challenge. So it's a challenge that the NFL launched to stimulate innovation. And they're calling to experts from all around the world in order to provide some better helmet and develop the future design of the helmet that the players would be wearing.
Yeah, so it should be noted that some 100 teams applied for this grant, which is right around $240,000 U.S. Only four received it. You guys were one of them. Why do you think you were chosen as one of them? Why do you believe you were chosen as one of them?
Okay, because for the grant, we had to provide it some kind of preliminary data as well as a description of the team that we have. So I truly believe that we were chosen because we have a great team. First of all, we're Collide is formed of four Montreal companies, all in innovation. They all provided some very complementary aspect to the helmet, a lot of new technologies that will be embedded inside the helmet. And the second thing is that the proof that we had was solid. I mean, we did a lot of numerical simulation to show the NFL that what we are thinking about what should be the next helmet is right and would provide maybe probably some better and safer helmet to the player.
What would, without giving everything away, what would make your helmet different, like in terms of technological advancements, you know, maybe tracking brain stimulus, and even just the protection of the player? What makes your helmet different?
We are using a new structure for the padding. The soft part of the helmet would use some padding made of, like a honeycomb structure that we can design in a way that we can absorb orient the energy in a very efficient way. Mm-hmm. So the energy of impact is very damaging to the brain. So we're trying to avoid all this energy to go directly to the brain. So this is one thing that we are doing. We're also using a custom fitted approach in order to make the helmet not only tightened to the head of the player, but to the shape of the head of the player, but also based on its position. Mm. So let's say that you have a cornerback or a linebacker, they won't sustain the same type of impact. So we're trying to have an helmet that would be adapted to these positions, to the different position on the field. We're also using different types of flexible material for the liner, but also for the shell, the hard part of the helmet. So there's many different aspects of it. We're using 3D printing, which is a new manufacturer way to provide some very, very geometrical, precise parts. It's many different innovations. Again, due to the expertise that we have on the team, we have engineers, we have industrial designer, we have football players. We have medical staff, so it's a big team that we have gathered in order to try to have the best helmet.
Now, this is a venture once again between Collide and ETS. You're on the ETS side, the academic side. Do you have a sports background, Eric?
Yes, I'm a hockey player. Okay. I've been playing more hockey than football, but I've been doing some helmets for hockey as well. So we're taking what we did so far for hockey, some of the tools that we have, and we're applying them to another sport, which is an important one. I mean, football, there's a lot of concussion in football. So I think it's very important that as a university, we provide some help to try to reduce this very vicious disease. So it's important for us to be part of this.
Hey, Eric, just before we get to, you know, when your helmet gets judged and when you know if you won the whole thing or not, I got to ask you this. Cars, when we test the cars structurally, it looks like they run them into walls with test dummies. How do you guys test these helmets?
Oh, it's a very similar. I mean, the analogy is good because what we are doing to test the helmet, we're using some mannequin. It's not a real head, of course. So using some mannequin with sensors embedded into them, and we put a helmet on them. Then we run 18 impacts, so six different locations with three different speeds, because it's important to protect from low velocity impact as well as high velocity impact. And we're taking some measurements on the sensor, which are the acceleration that we measured. And these acceleration, which is similar to the force, we're computing some kind of it's called the HPS. So it's a score that we calculate in order to see if the helmet is efficient or not in terms of security. So this types of lab test is done to, I would say, simulate what a player would sustain on the field. So it's a replication of the types of impact that a player would sustain. So that's how we test the helmet for the security part.
Awesome, man. Okay, so when do you find out? When does the helmet have to be submitted for them to decide if you win the whole thing or not?
Mid-July 2021.
Okay, so where would you be in the testing process? Like how often would you test and retest? And I guess when would your helmet be good to go in your mind, do you think?
I guess that we're going to submit it in July so that we take all the time that we have to make as much tests as we can. But what I could say about this is that we're using numerical simulation to amplify the number of tests that we can do. I mean, by using simulation, we can run like 100 of tests on different types of helmet and testing different parameters of the helmet very quickly instead of having to build the helmet every time. So we don't actually build all the prototypes. We're using a virtual approach, and once we feel that we have a good helmet, then we're going to manufacture it and test it using the similar test as the NFL is doing. So we think that the first physical prototype will be most probably ready by the end of fall, and we'll take all the rest of the time to test some different real prototypes. But our first approach is really to use the simulation to give us as much answer as we can, and to finally have a very good prototype once we start manufacturing them.
Okay, so let's do our own test here, our own English/French test. Okay, Eric. Now here I am. Here's my test as we wrap the interview up. It's Eric Wagnac. Now you tell me how to pronounce it.
Wagnac.
Okay, I tried. At least I tried. I didn't butcher it and say Wagnac.
No, you did good. You did good. Or Wagnac. Most people say a V instead of a W. Okay. So you did great. You did great.
Well, hopefully I can have you on again down the road to talk about you getting the winning bid. Thanks for your time. Okay,
Absolutely.
Eric?
Absolutely. Anytime. My pleasure.
Just ahead of my conversation with Colton Klassen of the U of S Huskies, one of the 300 players that got an extra year of eligibility tacked on the other side of this pandemic, and he's very happy about that. We'll get his comments in a second. I'm doing something called Ballsy's Pick 6, where we look at six sports stories and break them down for you. We'll start with the CFL. Tensions continue to mount among CFL players. Of course, they've gone unpaid, but the CFLPA's membership held a massive town hall this week to update them on discussions with the league, and it's being described as productive. The government piece, though, appears murky at best. Now, as I record this podcast, a Canadian press report published shortly after the meeting said the federal and provincial governments would be unable to confirm funding unless a deal between the players and the league was reached beforehand. And as I tape this podcast, like I said, no deal. It's kind of hard to do when we don't know if the government is going to help the league out. That whole thing remains a clown show right now. Hey, a limited edition Topps baseball card featuring Dr. Anthony Fauci sold 51,512 copies in just 24 hours. Now, apparently Donald Trump made up his invite to throw out the first pitch at a Yankees game next month. The story goes he was asked a long time ago but said no. Then when he found out Fauci was throwing out a pitch, he called the Yankees to say, you know what, I'm going to do it. They said, okay, we'll get something lined up for you. Now he says he doesn't want to. He's too busy. Like, wait a minute. There's no vaccine, right? So then why is the doctor in charge of finding a vaccine and the most powerful man in North America, maybe the world, in Donald Trump, worried about throwing out first pitches at baseball games? Give me a vaccine so I can go watch sports live. Jeez. The NHL apparently is doing something right. They've announced zero positive COVID-19 results among the 800 players tested during the second week of training camps. These days, that's a big victory. By the way, do you have any upsets in the qualifying round? I think Minnesota beats Vancouver, and I don't know if this would qualify as an upset because it's going to be a tight series. I think Calgary beats Winnipeg in five. I don't think that's much of an upset. And Winnipeg has the better goaltending, but their defense, definitely not as good. I think Johnny Hockey in Calgary gets it done, as much as that makes me puke in my mouth as an Oiler fan. Story number five in the pick six. It'll be interesting to see what U.S. college football and the NFL does. The NFL seems to take any and all of the bullets and keeps on ticking, so I'm expecting they'll try to power through it. As for the big moneymaker, college football in the States, I think it's too early to cancel the season just yet. There is still time to save it, and I have a vested interest because my son's down there in FCS. But we're down to the last half an hour of an SAT test, and the commissioners are still trying to decide which color pencil they're going to use. The strongest ideas to this point, conference-only opponents, testing 72 hours before kickoff, and, you know, that's not really going to do much against a highly contagious, unpredictable virus right now that can shut down an entire team, four baseball teams, for that matter. As I just said, the bubble in the NHL is working, and except for the odd dummy going to a strip club for the food, I'm looking at you, Lou Williams, the bubble's working in the NBA. I think it's time for college football to look at a bubble down south. College sports face a steeper challenge to return the pros simply because they take place on college campuses. Tens of thousands of students will soon return, and you know they're going to go to parties, hang out in close quarters, and send the number of COVID cases in their towns soaring in the next few weeks. College officials are in complete denial if they think football teams whose players live and go to classes with said students won't be ravaged, or they're in denial if they don't think those football players are going to go to some of these parties. Now, with virtual learning a real option, that's something they definitely should consider. Go in a bubble and have the football players learn virtually. And the NBA season resumes on Thursday. I like what the NBA is trying to do here and kind of remove the library feel to the game. The NBA is dealing with fans a bit differently than the baseball cardboard cutouts. When the season restarts in a couple of days, 300 fans will get to attend each game virtually, kind of like a huge Zoom meeting. The NBA will live stream their faces on the giant courtside video screens so players get a chance to see them. They'll also have a screen behind each basket. I like that setup. It'll be interesting to see how the NBA bubble plays out. And I want to throw one more in here in the extra point segment. So yesterday when U Sports decided to give 25-year-old football players their last year of eligibility, I called the president, Dick White, who I consider a friend of this podcast, and I wanted to get some comments for this podcast. My buddy, who has a son playing at the U Sports level, was eager to hear what Dick White had to say. So when I'm done putting the podcast together, I quickly send him a text, and somehow my mom's on the text chain too. Here's how it went. Quote me, "Hey, Dick is up and it's pretty good." He responds, "Whatever, you show off." At which point I look at my phone and like, what? And then I realize, oh, I caught the weird wording of my text. But then my mom responds, "Pardon, Michael? Try explaining what you meant to your mom when you say, hey, Dick is up and it's pretty good. Your mom's hard of hearing and she's in the hospital." That was a long and interesting description. All right, we catch up with Colton Claussen, who is hard at work as we record this interview. What do you do? Tell the people what you do, because it's not all glitz and glamour.
Right now, I'm just bartending at Packers Club. Right now, I'm just doing some prep stuff, but yeah, nothing too crazy.
Okay, so if I come in there, what's your specialty? What's the best drink Colton Claussen can mix up for me?
Can make a pretty good whiskey sour.
Whiskey sour is good. I've been drinking this rum chata with tequila mixed. It's pretty good.
I've never heard of it.
Nice sipping drink. I also like a Moscow Mule, and beer and clam's always good. You can always get me with a good beer and clam. Hey, by the way, about 2 weeks ago, how much did you want to drink when you found out they were taking away your last year of eligibility?
I'm not much of a drinker, but it's definitely a rough day when I heard that.
Hey, is it good? Before we get into that, you've just branched me off to another question, buddy. So is it good that you're not much of a drinker when you're a bartender? Does that help or hinder you? Because if you're not much of a drinker, how do you know what they're drinking? You know what I mean? Like, you haven't experienced it much.
I think everyone enjoys the drink. But, personally, I'll have a couple casuals now and again. But, yeah, nothing too crazy. I don't know. It's kind of weird the more I think about it now. But, I don't know. I don't think it hinders me too much, but.
Well, I didn't mean to make you second guess your part-time job.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So maybe you could speak to that, because I've talked to other guys about this. Just talk about the tough life that is being a student athlete. You're a full-time football player. You're a student, and you gotta work too. That's not easy, man.
Especially with everything that's been going on lately. No, it's been really weird times, I got my university degree this year, so, mm-hmm. there was a lot of thoughts about, is it even worth going back to school this next year and training with the team, just a lot of uncertainty, not just for myself, but I think for everybody that's going through this right now,
especially student athletes. What's the degree in?
I got a political studies degree this past spring.
Okay, so what are you making of our political climate? Without getting too political, what are you making of what's going on in the world? I never thought the day where I would say Mexico might have the strongest leadership in North America.
right now, talking about politics, I know it's a touchy subject, but right now I wouldn't want to be involved in it anywhere as a world leader right now. It seems like it's hard to do anything right now, because anything you do gets faced with criticism. So, from that standpoint, I respect all the leaders, but because I know any decision they make, there's going to be criticism, and I feel like none of us have been through something like this. So, yeah, I really, really feel for all the people in power right now.
There's no playbook, absolutely. So let me ask you this then. Just with what you described there, Colton Claussen, you weren't happy with regards to the decision 2 weeks ago. But, I mean, you probably, if you take a step back now, things went in your favor, because I had Dick White on my podcast on the last edition. There were a lot of dominoes. Like, if you give Colton Claussen another year, well, then what happens to the young guy coming in? There's two recruiting classes coming in here now. It's going to be hard to squeeze everybody on a roster. So when one domino goes that direction, three others fall the other direction. So it wouldn't be easy to be a leader in that avenue, too.
Well, I know it's easy to say that for myself. I'm happy, but I know especially guys coming in from recruiting classes, it's really weird because, there's guys fighting to make a roster, and there is those veteran guys now. But looking at it from my perspective is lots of these teams are built around your veteran guys. So I thought the decision to take away that eligibility was kind of a slap to the face to all the 23, 24-year-olds out there because, this isn't something that's going to happen every year. The reality is that if you look at something, a pandemic like this happens every 100 years. So the fact that I'm happy the decision got reversed, but looking at it, it still baffles me that the decision made, first of all, to not give back that eligibility had to be reversed. Still really baffles me.
You got to be excited, though, in a time of negative news. How exciting was that to hear the reversal then after a couple of weeks ago getting the bad news, now getting good news? It seems kind of strange to get good news.
It's really strange. And looking back on the last few months, from the combine getting canceled to the season getting canceled and all this stuff, it's kind of, exactly. It's weird getting good news. So I'm just happy going forward and just happy to know that in the next year or two, I still have football to play somewhere, no matter what.
Yeah, it was almost like a reality show for you there, Colton, because you went from having two options, Huskies and maybe the Montreal Alouettes, to then just, I have to make the Montreal Alouettes or my football career is done. It's nice to kind of have that netting at the end of the tightrope there, so to speak, to draw an analogy. If you don't make the Alouettes right away, you can go back and still keep playing football, because that would have been a horrible way for your football career to end, snapping your leg like that.
Yeah. And I just think, like, looking back on it, if you look at the CFL and what they're doing with fourth, fifth-year guys, a lot of guys are getting sent back just because, you know, give them playing time instead of putting them on the practice roster. So, no, that was the reality if this stuff didn't happen. But, no, especially now coming off an injury and, you know, being a little bit pissed off about how last year ended and the way I went out, that would have definitely been a, like I said in some other interviews, is, you know what, all the positives I've had in my Husky career, but I think looking back, if that's the way it would have ended, that's something that definitely would have been a sour taste still in my mouth.
You have an opportunity to go out a Vanier Cup champ, because I think your team's very much in the running along with the Dinos as the 1-2 punch in a very tough Can West. And once you get out of the Can West, anything can happen. I think you guys are built to win a championship. I've said it numerous times the next 2 years. That's why it would have been a devastating blow to this football team, because Scott Flory was putting together a game plan to kind of compete, I really feel, these next couple of years.
Yeah, and like looking at our roster and just, you know, each year you say you're good, but like you say, oh, you have the team, right? That's, if you don't have that mentality, then you're not on the right team. But no, looking at our roster and looking at a lot of, like, we're not a young team, we're not an old team, but there's a lot of guys that have some experience. So no, like you can see from the last 2 years we've kind of been building. So if you look at our roster all the way around, we have a really good roster, but just going forward, the scary thing I think for all the teams is how many are guys still going to get lost because of this pandemic stuff, because, you know, there is going to be guys that are going to move on with life, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. You know, it must be like, and we kind of touched on it there, it must be exhilarating for you. What kind of Colton Klaassen are we going to see this year? Are we going to see a guy with a chip on his shoulder? Or are we going to see a guy kind of play a little bit more, I know, disciplined, but free? Because, man, you're playing with house money here. You get that year back, and you're back healthy now. What kind of Colton Klaassen are we going to see? And are you close to 100%?
I think there's always, the way I play, there's always a little bit of a chip on my shoulder. But, you know, I've been at 100% for the last few months here. Could even talk to my trainer if no one believes that. But, no, especially going forward, there's just so much time to train and get better that I think it's definitely going to be a more pissed-off Colton than we've seen in the last couple of years. But, no, it's just, you know, the season kind of comes soon enough, whenever that may be.
For a guy that's wound up tight, besides finding a part-time job here at the Cactus Club, what do you do to, like, because it's, I mean, you guys like you, Nias, Baker, those kind of guys, Sumick, you guys must be just itching to play football. It'd be nice. Have you heard anything? Because I heard the Rams and the Huskies, regardless if you're playing or not in the fall, might get together and play a bunch of exhibition games or controlled scrimmages. Have you heard any more on that?
You know, that was the rumor. That was the plan going forward. Right now, it's kind of a bubble, or like kind of a question mark in the air, because if you look, we're not even allowed in our clubhouse yet. So going forward, I just hope the provincial government and the healthcare officials can make some decisions so that, you know, that still is an opportunity. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know if it's going to be minimal guys playing, how many games it's going to be. But right now, I heard that's the plan. But right now, it's a little bit skeptical with the delay on everything that's going on.
Okay, so we're going to air this podcast today on the 28th. When's your next scheduled working time?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. What time?
6 to close.
6 to close. Okay, make sure you go to the Cactus Club, have yourself a nice meal, and tip the bartender because he needs the money. Thanks for this, Colton. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ballsy. Take care.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.